So thank you so much, Dr. Wood, for making time to come on our show today, 1 week after the 12th anniversary of 9/11. Welcome to the Reynolds Reveal.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and thank you for all that you have done for me. As I've said many times, there's no way I would have gotten anywhere without you.
Hey, it gives me chills. Even though you've
You
said
ran
it
defense
before,
for me.
it gives me chills. And I want to begin to establish credibility for those who don't know of Dr. Judy Wood. And she's uniquely qualified in the world by her training and experience to gather evidence from the incredible events of 9/11 and analyze it. Specifically, she holds a BS in civil engineering, emphasis on structural, 1981, a master's of science in engineering mechanics or applied physics, 1983, and a PhD in materials engineering science, 1992, all from Virginia Tech, for short, in Blacksburg, Virginia. Further, she has taught and done research at Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina, co-authoring some 60 academic articles in refereed engineering journals and made numerous presentations at engineering conferences. Now, can anybody question that she is a qualified forensic scientist? I don't think they can, even though they have a lot of innuendo and shadowy remarks. What could you add to that, Dr. Wood?
Well, that my area of research is analyzing images to find material properties, to determine material properties, whether it's, looking at the deformation of materials and so forth, or displacements of materials, and using optical methods.
Thanks for
So,
that. Now, we were babes in the woods 10 years ago, I'd say. We didn't know how the system operated now. And I want to mention something that comes to mind as an economist and see if there are any parallels. And I'm referring to the muddle up, the bollocks, the cover up of your work, the slowing down of the pursuit of the real perpetrators, which depends on getting evidence. Now, the book I have in mind is by Henry Hazlitt. It's called Economics in One Lesson. And at the beginning, he just has the one lesson is in one short chapter, and then he has these applications. It's a very cool little compact book. And he refers to two things. He says, well, economics is difficult because of the inherent difficulties of the subject. People focus too much on the visible short-run consequences of, for example, the government intervention, and they ignore the consequences that are less visible or hidden or a longer run, and you got to analyze it in terms of overall impact. Now, the other thing he mentions is that economics is more difficult, he's claimed, than the physical sciences for the following reason. Propagandists for special interests are trotted out, and they intend to give you this confusion and cover up and mislead people, and you got to penetrate that. Whereas he thought at the time, this book came out in 1946, I believe, that the physical scientists were free of this. And what we're seeing here, Dr. Wood, is it's hard to believe it's anything but a deliberate cover up, plus the normal confusion that and ignorance that goes on. Well, do you see that parallel at all?
The appearance of ignorance.
Ah, so you would say on balance, much of it, if not a majority, is intended to cover up the crime.
The people tend to follow a leader, so you don't need to control much of any people but one, and then he controls the rest because people tend to follow the leader. They don't think for themselves. They turn their thinking over to someone else's keeping. And then that one person to maintain plausible deniability pretends to be stupid or ignorant or, blind, various scenarios. But when they start lying about science and they're supposed to be a scientist, we have something more seriously wrong. And the first one that I came to was this one that was arguing about something that's high school physics and acted as though we needed an experiment was wrong. Back then, we couldn't find images on the Internet very easily, so I went ahead and made my own image with material that I knew was what it was.
So is this referring to the glowing metals and heat?
Yep.
Hmm? Yes.
You know, whether it's iron or aluminum, whatever it is, it glows at the same temperature. Iron, you know, melts at 1535, that is centigrade, and it's glowing like white hot at that temperature. So if you're going to get aluminum glowing white hot at that temperature, you know, if aluminum is at that temperature, it's going to be glowing white hot.
Okay,
but,
now
you know, room temperature aluminum with 1535 degree, iron. That's ridiculous. You got to compare both temperatures.
You know what this tells me? That the enemy camp recognized you were a problem early on. The same way I recognized I've got to see if I can help her in any way and promote her work and help her in her work. So I wasn't the only one who saw this. See it as a big problem. We got to head her off at the pass or, discredit her work somehow or other. And I'm saying, no, I need to help promote. Sure, they did.
I think I even have the clip I can play here. Let's see.
It took a while for the group to trace down this video evidence. It was an amateur videographer, a couple of them actually, showing and capturing this event. It's a very anomalous activity, this molten metal flowing. As I thought, I knew it was not aluminum. I had worked with molten aluminum before. And molten liquid aluminum has the property that it's silvery, rather like aluminum foil, you know, and at all temperatures in daylight conditions.
At all temperatures in daylight conditions.
That's obvious to a lay person, I would think. You know,
right.
This has got to be false.
And I first contacted this person, Stephen Jones, with, wait a minute, are you having a senior moment? You can't identify something by, whether or not it's glowing. You know, hot things glow. And also, things that aren't hot glow. Just because it's glowing doesn't tell you what material it is. You know, if you want to rule out aluminum, use a different line of reasoning, because this one is bogus. And,
so what did Professor Stephen Jones, what was his reply?
Oh, it was, round and round. Well, he thought it did. He was going to run an experiment. Well, I couldn't come up with a reliable photo, so I made my own. I melted aluminum in my lab. My student, I was taking pictures, helping me. And I said it to him. He says, well, maybe it glows in Clemson, South Carolina, but it doesn't glow in Provo, Utah.
No. Yeah. A cannonball shot off in Alabama has a different path than the same setup in Brazil, right?
Right.
Come
right.
On. Yeah.
You know, thermal energy is thermal energy. And, it's different, amounts that it would take in, different amounts of heat it would take in. But still, it radiates a particular color in a particular temperature. Your stove burner, when it's hot, it gets bright orange or sometimes whitish orange or yellowish orange. You know, that means it's hot. it doesn't have to be this material, that material. And what it hit me immediately was my mom used to fire pottery in a kiln. And when it's at 2100 degrees or so, you look in there and everything's the same color. It's all bright, yellow, white. You don't have a black hole where you have something that was aluminum. it's ridiculous. Everything glows at the same temperature. Like when you cook something in your fire, you get your fireplace really stoking hot, it starts glowing if it's the same temperature. So, can a PhD educated nuclear physicist be this slow to catch on? Well, we, originally said him be this retarded, you know, being slow to catch on.
Yeah. And the answer is supposed to be no, right?
Right.
And,
but to keep people from answering that question, he claimed that we called him mentally retarded. You know, a retard or something like that. And, like, how dare they attack me? The people were distracted away from asking themselves that question. There's a beautiful diversion. But I found that question is when you find yourself naturally asking, can a blank, you know, fill in the blank, be this retarded, you know, slow to catch on, like, you know, music, you know, retards toward the end when you slow it down. And so when you find yourself naturally asking that, you have to step back and pause and say, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Hey, I'd like to point out Gerard Holmgren, the now deceased famous note planer from Australia, caught Jones in a lie. Everybody was happy in September of 05 when Jones appeared. Okay, we've got a credentialed physicist out of BYU who's going to take on the 9/11 challenge and put it up to the government. Nah, this can't be right. And he supposedly, he reported himself, oh, I went out to study a 767.
No, 757.
That's right. It was a
757 hit the World Trade Center.
Right. So Jones had been posturing already as I'm a scientist. I've got credentials. I've got a white smock or jacket to wear. And everybody is supposed to, whatever you say, sir. No. You know, and so right away, the guy is exposed. And we waited, I think it was a year, to really thunk him bad in an article.
Well, we just said, why isn't he asking this question? Why isn't he asking that question? And so forth. And then we went ahead and asked those questions because, you know, they need to be asked. But taking that as the backdrop, you know, here we are with the, you know, a PhD educated nuclear physicist who teaches physics classes at Brigham Young University. Yet he doesn't know, realize that, you know, kinetic energy weapons are directed energy weapons. You know, and yeah. that somehow some kinetic energy device caused the towers to go poof instantly, or a thermal energy device, you know, welding material, caused the material to turn to dust in midair. Without getting hot, you know, it's so ridiculous.
It is, but then you look at his career history, his ties to Los Alamos, his involvement in so-called cold fusion, a term attributed, well, that he coined, to ruin the whole Pons-Fleischmann breakthrough.
It's very amazing. We have to back and learn from this as to how easily people are managed. They follow the leader and they trash the person the leader tells them to trash.
So it's like the emperor has no clothes, and it takes a 5-year-old boy to point it out. Everybody else, this is royalty.
But then the emperor points to the boy and says, "Oh, he's a liar. Don't believe him." and the people don't.
Yeah, and who are you going to believe, the emperor or the 5-year-old?
Right, and that is exactly what happens.
And we should, according to Dr. Wood, look at the evidence about whether the emperor is clothed or not, shouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. You have to begin with the evidence. And see where the evidence leads you. You don't begin with a theory. And right off the bat, Stephen Jones was teaching people what the scientific method is. And he would say it in this, such a way that people just, you know, this cutesy way that people just kind of, you know, ooh and ah over him and fall for it. You know, a good salesman isn't going to be harsh. A good salesman is going to be slick and smooth. And so people decide, okay, that must be the scientific method. Well, that's a scientific method if you're trying to come up with a theory of gravity or a theory of some aspect of nature, you know, a natural phenomenon, but not for doing a crime scene investigation. You don't solve a crime based on a theory. You solve a crime based on evidence, and you have to go where the evidence leads. you don't have a theory of an autopsy. You have an actual autopsy. It's either conclusive or not conclusive. If it's conclusive, then there's no question as to, you know, what the deal is. You know, if the guy doesn't have a bullet hole in him, you can't say the person holding the smoking gun there shot him to death. You know, the body has a bullet hole in it. You know, there's various, you know, obvious things like that. We have the same thing at the World Trade Center. We have no evidence of a kinetic energy weapon. We actually have evidence to the contrary. If a kinetic energy weapon, we're talking about like a missile, a wrecking ball, a big hammer, lots of little hammers, you know, things that go bang, like bombs, things that use velocity to hit something with a mass, a variety of things. We didn't have that.
Well, what would be an example of some of that evidence? Go ahead.
You'd have the building would blow into chunks, and the chunks would go flying, and they'd stay chunks all the way through their flight until they hit something. They wouldn't dissolve into dust as they're flying, but also they would hit the ground, boom, and it would be recorded on the seismic chart. If you hit a rock with a hammer, a big hammer, let's say you get a wrecking ball and go boom on a rock, it's going to be recorded in the local seismic station. Because it's like hitting a tuning fork.
And each tower, I don't think this is disputed any longer, weighed an estimated 500,000 tons, each tower.
Correct. And if that is slammed to the ground, it would be like a huge hammer hitting a tuning fork. And it would ring at the local recording station. But there were no S waves or P waves. That's the waves that travel through the Earth. Only surface waves, which is what you would get if you just picked the building up and took it off the ground and, you know, tossed it in outer space or whatever, just taking the weight off the ground or turning it into dust. If you chopped the building up into chunks, you know, busted it up with things hitting it, bombs blowing up, whatnot, and the place is slammed to the ground, it would be recorded on the seismic chart. Also, bombs create heat, lots of it. You know, and this welding material, it works by thermal conductivity. And how long would it take to get that heat to go through a 1-inch thick steel column? How about a 4-inch thick or a 5-inch thick steel column? You aren't going to do it in nanoseconds. For the North Tower, the ground shook, the surface wave that is, shook for 8 seconds. It takes 9.5 seconds to drop a bowling ball off the roof and have it hit the ground. In other words, the building turned to dust in midair before hitting the ground, and it was destroyed faster than it would take to drop a bowling ball off the roof. That proves the building did not slam to the ground.
And all the evidence is consistent. And so much of this evidence is easily understood. The visual evidence that the buildings and chunks of the building are turning to dust in midair.
Oh, very much. And one of the things I find the funniest is when people say, oh, well, it all, you know, the missing debris. Because if the building, you know, fell to the ground, you see a pile of debris there. And they say, well, it's in the basement. And I like to point this out about the North Tower. There are 14 people, there's 13 first responders and one civilian that walked out of there. They survived in stairwell B in the second, third, and fourth floor. There were two more people that survived above that level where the building didn't even survive. And one guy was on the 22nd floor and just rode the dust cloud down and ended up on top of that stairwell B. But those guys who survived in stairwell B, if the building was getting mashed into the basement, how did it get there? Did it take a detour, you know, go down VC Street and around and, you know, take the elevator down to get down to the basement? How did it get around those people without squashing them? It couldn't have. We also have pictures of the PATH train station where there's PATH trains sitting there. There's water there, of course, because there's fire hoses that have been all over the place. But you know how FEMA goes in, they spray paint these red X's, and they count how many live bodies, how many dead bodies, and whatever it's in their symbol that they put on there. They were down there, were doing that. You know, the basement's still there.
It's amazing to me, even though I should know better, the resistance to the where did the towers go. Buy this book, folks, wheredidthetowersgo.com. The resistance is still amazing. Now, where is the scientific refutation? Where should we go to find a coherent telling criticisms of your book? You know, that there's evidence is wrong.
There's no refutation of my book. There can't be, because evidence isn't wrong. And I present evidence, and only evidence, not a theory. When folks refer to my work as a theory, then they are introducing doubt by misnaming it. I have evidence. It's kind of like an autopsy report. It's either conclusive or not conclusive. A conclusive autopsy report is they have enough, you know, information to determine what happened to the body. That's basically what I have about what happened to the buildings. And there's evidence that no one else can come up with a different answer than that. And it's, you know, just based on, you know, logic and looking at it. You look at the picture, every single picture. Okay, where's my material? We have George Stephanopoulos at the scene talking to Peter Jennings in the studio saying, well, you know, I've been asking, you know, when Peter Jennings says, where did all the rubble go? And George Stephanopoulos says, well, I've been asking folks that. And one volunteer, Robert Gerlinski, explains it all fell down into the ground, was pulverized, evaporated. And you know, the poor guy, that's the best he could do. He's supposed to be telling the world what he sees. And that's the best he could come up with for why there's not enough rubble there. And that's about 24 hours after the towers went away. So any piece of data you look at, it's all consistent. It's all consistent with the buildings turning to dust in midair, especially looking at, you can follow this, you know, chunk of steel falling down with all this dust, you know, opaque dust pouring off of it. And then pretty soon, you don't see the steel beam anymore, and the dust is, you know, wafting away. The beam doesn't hit the ground.
And the dust is not coming off the beam. That is the former beam.
Right. I tell people for an exercise, it's say you're going to impersonate this beam. So you're going to, you know, jump from the top floor and first cover yourself with dust, jump from the top floor. So the guy at the street, he looks up. Is he going to see that thick dust trailing off? No. Okay, so you're going to see, I guess we have to wait for the break.
We have to take a break. You're listening to the Reynolds Reveal and my special guest, following the 12th anniversary or remembrance of 9/11, is Dr. Judy Wood, the most important person in the truth about 9/11. So come on back after the break. Welcome back to the Reynolds Reveal. I'm your host, Morgan Reynolds. And if you would like to speak with Dr. Judy Wood, who is a scientist, make no mistake, she is the scientist on the case of 9/11. The number to call is 218-862-9829. Now, Dr. Wood, we were talking over the break, and you would like to discuss three different methods of destroying the World Trade Center, and two of them are wrong.
Right, and you look at categories, you know, thermal energy, kinetic energy, or directed energy. So you have this piece of material flying through the air, and it turns into dust as it's flying through the air. It's disintegrating. How can you argue that's kinetic energy doing that? You know, air resistance isn't going to cause steel to turn into dust. Very, very fine dust. You can't get a hammer and pound those who say that it was concrete dust, you can't get a hammer and pound on concrete enough to give it that fine. We're talking about, you know, like the size of DNA, about 1/100th of the size of red blood cells. That fine. That only comes from atoms, instead of being attracted to each other, repelling each other, they're coming apart. Thermal energy doesn't do that. Unless you're cooking the building and vaporizing the building, but the building was not cooked to death. The dust cloud was reported as initially being cooler than ambient temperature. And I think most everyone saw that there's a whole lot of paper floating around that wasn't burned. And if the towers were, you know, heated that high, people would have been blinded by the light. You know, we didn't see that. You didn't see this. The towers weren't lit up like a Christmas tree. So we can eliminate thermal energy weapons. and kinetic energy weapons, too. You know, it wasn't anything beaten on the buildings or exploding the buildings, you know, with a bomb here, a bomb there, lots of bombs, lots of hammers, a wrecking ball, pea shooters. Those are kinetic energy weapons. And so now let's go to directed energy. And my definition of that
is... Hold up. Let me ask you about kinetic because...
Okay.
Many of your critics accuse you, or in some cases me, of ignoring or denying explosion. But that's a false accusation, isn't it?
Right. Right. Okay, let's get to that. I remember we're just for the break. And we were talking about... I've forgotten it. Sorry.
Well,
I was listening to what you said, but as for refuting my work. They cannot refute my work because it's just evidence. It's not a theory. It's just evidence. But it's conclusive evidence. However, because they can't refute my book, they rewrite it and refute that. They promote false propaganda and then refute their own propaganda that they're promoting. Like saying, oh, she claims it was a laser beam from outer space. No, I don't claim that. So that is not refuting me.
They make these charges, but they don't quote from the book or from your website, drjudywood.com. They don't.
Right.
Like scholarly methods.
Exactly. And those who, you know, like alien scientists or Jeremy Riss, who claimed, oh, but the only directed energy weapon he knows of is a laser beam from space. So therefore, she was talking about laser beams from space. That's how he makes that jump. But directed energy is, my definition of it is energy that's directed, and then it's used as a weapon. But it's directed in a couple of different ways. One, geographically, you know, buildings with a WTC prefix were destroyed, and other buildings were not destroyed. But also, its energy is directed to do something differently than it normally does. Instead of atoms being attracted to each other, they repel each other. They're coming apart. And that means all of the matter just comes apart. And, when water turns into steam, it suddenly needs 1,600 times more volume to spread out. It needs more elbow room. Well, this is, you know, when I was looking at the picture of the tipping top of Tower 2, that was my aha moment. It looked like the building was essentially doing the same thing, a solid turning into, you know, kind of steam, you know, just the particulates. They suddenly were just expanding outward instead of, it wasn't that something hit something else and broke. It wasn't that something exploded and launched something. You know, pieces that were flying through the air were dissolving as they were flying through the air. And then you can look right below where you saw pieces falling, and there's just paper and dust. There's no solid chunks. I'm not saying there's no solid chunks anywhere, but I'm saying this particular video, looking at that intersection that I call the Twilight Zone image. But as for this, the quote debunking of, you know, they hear an explosion, so therefore it must be a bomb. Well, you put an egg in your microwave, you're going to hear an explosion. You know, bombs go boom, but not everything that goes boom is a bomb. And if you're turning something into dust, think of all the pressure vessels in that building. You have air pressure tanks. You have water tanks. And there's lots of water tanks because they don't pump the water up one, you know, directly up. They pump it up in stages because you'd have way too much head. It would just siphon out of, you know, any toilet at the top floor. So they pump it up, you know, like 10 or so stories at a time. See, my civil engineering background comes in handy. And then they pump it up, you know, some more. And then, you know, each time, you don't have to pump it more than 10 feet at a time. I mean, 10 stories at a time. It might be 12. It might be, you know, some amount. Well, you have all these big holding tanks. Those are pressure vessels. When those start to weaken, it's going to come a point when they can no longer hold the pressure and they're going to rupture. Same with air tanks. And by golly, at ground level, there are air tanks that the firefighters wear to fight fires so they can breathe clean air. Those were identified as rupturing at ground level.
Is it that the pressure builds up and or the material in the tank itself weakens or the valves explode?
Well, something is happening to them. It's faster mm-hmm. than environmental degradation. Also, there are vehicles that exploded. But, at ground level, the only things that were identified as exploding, people heard bombs, the sound of bombs, the sound of booms. But they didn't identify what was exploding, except in these instances that were vehicles exploding and Scott tanks, oxygen tanks. It could be the valves, some it could be the tank itself. There's a variety of stories. There were also a bunch of bullets in the glove compartment of a police car that was parked in the toasted car lot. And I actually found a video where you hear them going bang, 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 bang. The bullets are just exploding. Now, how does that happen?
Now, how can somebody, they can't if they're honest, but if you ever watch these videos or see a live controlled demolition and you hear that you see those, the explosions, the pop, 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 and then there's like a delay, and then it's almost like Wile E. Coyote. You look down and then all of a sudden the building it lost its structural integrity at all these weak points and it implodes. But my point is, there's no mistaking that sequence of explosions, and yet
it's a bang, 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 and then the building starts moving.
Yes, and that didn't happen. So it's very important, I think, that even in the controlled demolition, much less like a nuclear explosion or series of nuclear explosions, that
or here's this piece of evidence that sometimes gets used when people say. Well, it looked like a controlled demolition, or it reminded me of a controlled demolition. Well, that's not proof. You look like the killer, so therefore we should, give you an electric chair. You need more evidence than just it looked like. And to me, it did not look like, because you don't have bang, 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 bang. Also, the seismic charts, like Building 7, for example, a 47-story building, it has 6 times the potential energy of the Seattle King Dome, which sits on like a jello kind of foundation, silt and washout from above, not bedrock, so it would absorb more energy. And that made a 2.3 on the Richter scale and also made S waves and P waves that traveled through the Earth. The Building 7 that was 6 times the potential energy made a 0.6 on the Richter scale.
Instead of 2.3. It's equivalent to something, it's
jackhammer.
Undetectable. A jackhammer. That, and that's consistent, the scientific data, the seismic data, is consistent with the witnesses present, their testimony, isn't it? It was almost a silent event.
Yeah, and a lot of people didn't know, like this particular video of a woman being interviewed and Building 7 is behind her. And I don't know if it's the cameraman or the interviewer or if they're one and the same, but suddenly the building starts dropping down behind her and it gets about halfway down and the guy says, whoa, 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 whoa. No idea that a building's dropping behind her. No
now,
clue.
You may have well thought about this, but isn't lathering up out of one side, it's as if the interior of the Building 7 is dissolving, and then at the end we see debris from the exterior of the building. And
it deteriorated more slowly because it was fuming away for and lathering away for about 7 hours or so. But if you look at that tipping top of Building 2, Tower 2, that tipping is like 35 stories. imagine that is, Building 7.
Yes.
And it was lathering up for just that top.
Are you cautious online?
Like machine gun firing across all the adjacent buildings, which you didn't see.
And so what about you would have had flying glass and in the conventional sort, jagged, linear, and there would have been windows out all in the whole downtown Manhattan, and yet that didn't happen.
Right, right. And, the Seattle Kingdom is a good example. I remember, they were saying, and the dust filled the air for almost 20 minutes.
Right.
But yeah. It was covering Manhattan for, weeks, months, years. It kept coming up. But you think about it, if you squash this building down, let's say you remove all the windows and then you emulsify everything inside into fluff, and you're just going to mash this thing down like an accordion, the stuff inside has got to come out. And it's going to be coming out. It's going to be, the average speed will exceed Mach 1 about halfway down. And by the time it gets to the ground, it's like Mach 1.4 average. But from the center, it's like Mach 2.4. So that's going to be like machine gun firing all of the adjacent buildings.
And it's basically the air, the gas between the floors.
This is if you turned all the insides to powder, to dust, and just flipped it up.
Oh, okay.
And the fluff had to come out. Like all the dust just mysteriously, were fluffed up. But still, you're saying it was mashed down. Just to give an idea how fast that stuff had to move out of the way, if it was kinetic energy, exploding something, you would be launching out, chunks of stuff. And to prove that the building did indeed turn to dust in midair, it didn't have to, shoot out anywhere. It just turned to dust.
I'm thinking of a problem with witnesses and videos of witnesses. And the general proposition is that witnesses,
let me insert something. Okay. First off, as I say, there's three reasons why people can't see what happened. I mean, this happened right in front of our eyes. Why did so few people see it? Because, number one, they lack proper problem-solving skills due to our, quote, educational system. And number two, peer pressure, groupthink. They tend to go with the herd. If somebody says something, okay, that person's got it figured out. And once somebody's given an answer, they quit asking questions. And number three, they can't handle the implications of it. They can't handle the implications of it. It's going to run with, the other things.
Yeah, that's the fear argument.
Right. Okay, so you put eyewitnesses there. Majority of them are not material scientists. They don't do materials characterization studies and try to figure out what a material is or do forensic science work. They're just running with whatever they can run with. Just like George Stephanopoulos, the best answer he got was that the building's vaporized. He doesn't stop to think, well, it's not hot here. And I don't fault him for that. He was doing the best job he could given the situation. So look at eyewitnesses, they don't know how to interpret things. Like the FEMA worker who said the steel-toed boots were melting. Well, what we can see from that is there's some problem with the steel-toed boots. They're coming apart somehow, disintegrating. But if they were melting because of heat, if my steel oven is melting, the turkey inside is more than well done. But there's no reports of burned feet. So it isn't, you can't take what people say literally, but when you say they're expressing something the best they can.
Yes. This problem with eyewitnesses that crops up in some cases, I'm thinking of the firefighter who's got his left hand up in the air and he's talking about the building unraveling from top to bottom. And surely the both towers did that, but and he's going boom. He's adding the sound effects that he recalls, and he's arguing.
It's just popping out, boom, boom, boom. He was
boom, boom, boom. And but that's what he knows.
Hang on.
Yes,
it's true. But But hang on, he wasn't saying it. We could hear it popping out. It was popping out, and how would you describe the visual? I would describe boom, 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 boom. You can see the boom, 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 boom. You know, pop, 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 pop. You can see the stuff squirting out. That doesn't mean it was an audio signal that he was hearing. You know, it was just like, you know, boom, 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 boom. That's how I would describe these squirting out, you know, in sequence.
But I'm of the belief that he was giving us a forensic interpretation as well. Now, if you give him the kindest view, he's surely right. It's almost floor by floor, certainly from top to bottom. And then there are these what I'd call moderate explosions occasionally. And he's of the opinion, probably, I don't know this for a fact, but
we're reading stuff into it. Hmm? We just know that one clip where he describes that. And if you were right at the base of the tower and saw, you know, the forest unraveling, you know, squirt, 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 how would you describe it?
I might well have done the same thing.
It doesn't mean you're hearing bombs exploding.
He was describing it the best way he could. And now what I'm saying is that subsequent analysts, we'll call them researchers, have used that to just try and reinforce the thermite or kinetic energy weapons or controlled demolition. You know, they say, okay, look at Reynolds or Dr. Wood or Andrew Johnson or whoever.
Debunk. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at this. I got a video of a firefighter saying this. And yet it's hardly decisive in any direction. Yeah. You know,
Right. Any of the first responders, they're just doing the best they can to explain what they experienced.
It's very much like you said, so-and-so. Well, that's not proof. It's some witness testimony.
Why is debunking Dr. Wood, you know, what they think about 24 hours a day in their own life? Why are they obsessed with this?
Well, they are, I would say, seeking feeling better than I am. It's an SR 500, not an SRX 500. So this goes on in all these arenas.
Right, but this is more than just that. It's like my favorite one is this character who had this debunking of Hurricane Aaron not of being underreported. I said it was underreported. I didn't say it was no reporting at all. And actually, I quote the Fox weather guy as saying, "Now there's a real storm system, folks." I don't know if you remember that. You know, just get this, I don't remember the exact words, but this high pressure system moving in and whatnot. And the debunker had used that clip to say, see, Judy Woods doesn't even know, somehow they misspelled my name, Judy Woods doesn't even know about this. And somebody posted that quote from my book, and the debunker says, where did you get that from? Oh, from Dr. Quid's book, page such and such. You gotta read what you're trying to debunk first.
Yes, and quote it. There's a complete lack of precision among your critics. They paint with a wide brush and almost everything is wrong.
But why is that their goal in life instead of determining what happened and going after, you know, making sure this won't happen again or whatever the objective is?
Yes, I can imagine two explanations, and one is not good for the critics. You are listening to The Reynolds Reveal. We're up for a break. I have Dr. Judy Wood, the most important scientist in the world, I would say, and bar none. So come on back and listen after the break. To bring some loving here today, yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs.
There are plenty of tips for living longer. You've probably heard most of them. Give up smoking, exercise, yada yada. But now there's a happy, pain-free method for increasing your survival. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll share the secret in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Here's a tip for living longer that doesn't require hard work or giving up a guilty pleasure. In fact, it should bring you hours of leisurely joy. Make social connections. The more, the better. A recent Brigham Young University study shows that connecting with family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues can increase your odds of survival by at least 50%. And people of all ages benefit from social interactions, not just the elderly. Relationships may offer life-extending benefits because they give people purpose and a sense of responsibility for others. Researchers say it follows that people then take better care of themselves. So here's to a life blessed with plenty of life-enhancing social connections. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
What were you thinking about during the 2 weeks after Hurricane Sandy? For most of us in the Northeast, it was where to find a gas station with less than a three-hour wait. Don't think it can happen again, not just with gas, but with food too. Millions of people across the United States want to build a safety net of food storage, but are overwhelmed by the research and the time commitment required to properly plan for a year's supply. Since 1994, Bruce Hopkins, the Internet grocer, has been connecting people with quality, reliable, long-lasting food that'll be there for you when you most need it. Follow the example of Joseph of Egypt and build a safety stock of food today. Go to internet-grocer.com or call 903-356-6443. That's 903-356-6443. Or internet-grocer.com. Internet-grocer.com. Be prepared.
With email, Skype, Facebook, Twitter, and cell phones, we're more connected than ever before. But there are huge privacy and security problems with all of them. Things are being blocked where they're needed most, where people are fighting for their beliefs. Now, wouldn't it be nice if there was a way to replace Skype, Facebook, email, and messaging with something more secure so you can communicate freely? Ready to change the world? Introducing Unseen, the first free, secure, and private communication platform. Secure chat, secure messaging, secure content delivery, like nothing else. Unseen gives you the key to freedom. You have the power to change the world. Sign up now for free to give freedom.